Let's just think for a little while about the second coming of Jesus, because he is coming again. You might think, well, why on earth has he chosen that subject this morning? Well, it's not. I didn't choose it because I know everything about it. There's such a lot about the second coming of Christ which is not clear sometimes, and it's such a big thing, but there are some things that are very clear, and those are the ones we're hoping to look at. So I didn't choose it because I know all about it. I don't know all about it. I didn't choose it because of the last election, last Thursday. Hope. Perhaps David Suchet's films on the life of Peter recently, there were two films, when he followed the life of Peter from when he was a fisherman right through to when he landed up in Rome, maybe that sort of sparked something in my mind about Peter and the end of his life. What he says in this last letter is moving and is fairly straightforward. And it's very, very powerful. The first thing he says, there are three things. The first thing that he makes clear is that the day of the Lord will come. It's coming, friends. The day of the Lord will come. It will come. It's coming. This doesn't somehow penetrate our minds, does it, sometimes? We just go on living as though we're here for always. And there were people who were doubting this in Peter's day. They said, oh, what do you think you're saying, Peter? It's a load of rubbish. He came once and he hasn't come back again, and years have passed and still it's the same. It goes on as it was in the beginning, so it is now and will be forever. That's not true. The day of the Lord will come. Why hasn't it come already? Catastrophic events are happening in our world at the moment, all over the place. I was around in the Second World War, believe it or not, and I was only small, and it seemed disastrous with all the bombing and the flying bombs and things. We were right on the coast in Kent. But what is happening now is on a worldwide scale, all over the place, and it was big enough then, and it seems to be big now. Thousands of people are being killed, and hundreds and thousands of people are having to move out of their country and being shifted here, there, and everywhere. It looks as though we might almost be near the end. And yet we're not. Why hasn't it come already? Why hasn't Jesus come back again in the middle of all this chaos, it seems to be? Why hasn't he come already? And Peter said, it's simply because God is patient. God is the patient God. He's not in a hurry to carry out his purposes and plans. And amazing as it seems, he is patient. He's patient with you, he says, Peter. God is patient. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow keeping his promise. Instead, he is patient with you. He's patient with you, the great King of all the earth, who created the heavens and the earth. He's not in a hurry. He's going to carry out his purpose. Jesus is coming back one day, but he says, it's as though he's saying, just a minute, let's wait a moment. There are others who are yet to come to faith in Jesus. Just a moment. He is patient with you. He's not slow in keeping his promise. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Is the day of the Lord delayed for you to come? Good question to ask. So important. The second thing, which Peter makes very clear, is not only that the day of the Lord is going to come, but it is an event of enormous upheaval, an enormous event. Verse 10 says it's the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar. It's a job to get our minds round this, isn't it? The heavens will disappear with a roar. Can you imagine that, the noise, the sound of the heavens and disappearing? The elements will be destroyed, not by water, but by fire. Somehow, fire is going to burn and consume this whole thing. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. What an event. Verse 7 tells us that it's also the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment. And destruction of the ungodly. Oh, we don't like to hear these sort of things, do we? But on that great day, those who are without God and without Christ are... the day is prepared for their destruction. Fire, suddenness, noise, destruction, judgment. God working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. And there's going to be a new heavens. We've got to get our minds around this somehow and have the Lord's help for us to try to understand. Have you ever stopped to try and think of what a new heavens and a new earth is going to be like? Purged of all evil. No sorrow will be there. No tears, no hardship, no sadness. A new heavens with new capacities to appreciate and understand and love God. We've not seen anything like this, have we? So Paul says somewhere else, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. So there's part of hearing to this. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Now that's a pretty big sentence, isn't it? Pretty vast. We've never seen anything like this. We've never heard anything like it. It's not even entered into our hearts what God has prepared for those who love him. What an enormous event. And all the passages in the Bible that refer to the coming of Jesus, there's a lot of them. Jesus himself referred many times to his coming again, to the great day of the Lord in Matthew 24. For example, if I can find it here, Matthew. About the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen. They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. The enormity of that day. Words fail me to try to speak of it. It's so great, so glorious, so wonderful in many ways, so awe-inspiring when Jesus comes back again. He is coming back again. It's a definite event in human story, and it's going to be such an enormous thing. The day of the Lord, Peter again says, will come as a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. So, at the end of Peter's life, these are the things he wants the Christians to understand and appreciate. Jesus is coming back. It is a definite event, as sure, we used to say, as eggs are eggs, but that couldn't be more. It's as sure as can be. He is coming again. It's a definite event. It's on the program, on the timetable. And it's going to be such an event that we've never seen or heard anything like it before. And the third aspect of it is absolutely glorious. God is going to bring in a new heavens and a new earth. It's a glorious hope into which people are being called when they come to faith in Christ. It's not just a change of heart at the moment of conversion. It's not just a difference of lifestyle. It's not just moving from one area of life to another. It's not just a complete change of thinking, an inner life, a new birth. It's not only that, but it is a change of outlook altogether. It's so drastic, isn't it? A change of outlook. This life is not for the not going to go on as it is. Oh, but I'm collecting books. I've got loads and loads of them on the wall upstairs. And what I was going to... I'm going to keep them forever. No. I've got all sorts of plans and things lined up for me in days ahead. There's life at home, life at work, life as it goes on. It's not going to stay like this. It's going to change. I may be living all I'm living on my own, and day after day I come home and there's nobody there, and I'm living on my own, and there I am. And it seems as though it's going to go on and on. It's not going to last. It's going to change. There's going to become a change in your life and a change in your home and your heart, because God is going to send Jesus back again to inaugurate this new heavens and the new earth and bring the enormously happy outcome of his coming. Enormously happy. It's a joyful thing we're thinking about. Oh dear, I don't really want to leave all this. I don't really want to leave my veg that I've got for dinner and all these things that are here for today. I don't want to go leave it all behind. I just want it to stay as it is. No, Jesus says, you've got a greater and more glorious thing to happen than roast veg or roast meat or something on dinner. It's more wonderful than that. More to be desired than that. It's something that Peter says we are to think about. This glorious hope. And we are called to look forward to it, he says. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be that day will bring about this enormous change. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward. Do we keep looking backwards? The older you get sometimes, the more you look back. Programs on the telly at the moment all about these best generation who lived during the Second World War. Looking back, and there are people who are 90-something today whose lives are motivated and they're centred on all that happened in the past. There's no looking forward. But God brings us into this wonderful kingdom. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Where righteousness dwells, where right is right, where wrong cannot triumph, where the devil is pushed right out of the thinking altogether and he is destroyed. And right is right, and it seemed to be right, and it is a glorious and wonderful kingdom where righteousness dwells. Therefore, be ready. At the point when I came to know the Lord, it was in the army, when I was called up into the forces. I've mentioned this a number of times, but in Crookham, down the road here, I became aware that there were men in the barrack room, five of them had... And these guys showed me that there is a different kind of life, a different hope, a different... They had joy. We were peeling these potatoes day after day in the barracks, and it was rough in those days. We were doing all this thing, and these guys had joy. They had joy. They had a love and a happiness in spite of all this. The rest of us were pretty glum, but these folk had joy. And this kingdom into which we're brought is a kingdom of joy. And they belong to what was called the Soldiers and Airmen Scripture Readers Association. And their motto was, "Be ye also ready." For as such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that was the first verse of the Bible that I ever memorized. And I'm not sorry, or I have no regrets that that was the first verse. Be ye also ready. Be ready. The name of their magazine is Ready. And we are surely called in our day to be ready. It's so easy to live a different lifestyle. The temptation for us when we are comparatively young or healthy, when life is sweet and sadness is a stranger, it's also characteristic of modern Western societies, which are prosperous and relatively peaceful. We're comfortable where we are. Everything around us to cater for our felt needs. This world is compellingly pleasant, and we feel little interest in any other. In such an atmosphere, our spiritual focus is earthborn and immediate. The man who wrote that is a pastor in Ireland, and he said in his early days in his ministry, he forgot that. He never mentioned it much. But he's come to see that it was the very crux, one central part of the gospel of Christ. We're looking forward. Let's do that as we go home just now. We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Praise God for this wonderful hope. May he help us to really appreciate it more than ever as the days go by.